God be gracious to us and give us peace as we are all brought into God's family through Christ. We sang "We Are One" just a second ago. And it is true. We are God's family. Whether it's the people that are regulars here that we know very well, or the mass of visitors who have come, anyone who is in Christ is family, and we're grateful for that. We do have a number of people traveling. This block of pews is empty, so if you were just hoping for a closer seat for the next session, I hear they're going up for a good price, so you can make your way there. This morning our lesson is titled, "Do You Want to Be Healed?" We're going to be reading from John chapter 5. If you would like to turn a Bible there, I'd encourage you to. If you have someone next to you that you can look over their shoulder. Most of the scriptures will be on the screen. For those who are maybe wrestling little ones and are unable to turn delicate pages, we're in John chapter 5. Jesus, our Lord, has a gift for speaking to people and reaching people that everyone else seems to overlook. And the Gospel of John records quite a few of these occasions. These odd characters who seem to slip through the cracks of society, Jesus finds these people, and he knows exactly what to say to them. The woman who's drawing water in the middle of the day, maybe avoiding everyone else, Jesus finds her, and he brings good news to her. The man who was born blind, everyone else thought that maybe he was a wretched sinner or his parents were wretched sinners. Jesus finds him and brings good news to him. And in John chapter 5, we have another lost soul that Jesus sees. Let's start reading at the beginning of the chapter, and we'll see what's going on. This is John chapter 5 and verse 1. "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. And in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. They would wait for the moving of the waters, because an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever first, after the water was stirred up, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease he was afflicted. And there was a man there who had laid ill for 38 years. When Jesus, who saw him lying there and knew that he had been there for a long time, said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps in before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Get up, take up your bed and walk.' And at once the man was healed. He took up his bed and he walked." Jesus, three times in the Gospel of John, goes up to Jerusalem, like every Jewish man was commanded in the Old Law. They had annual festivals, and Jesus would go. It's a little bit of a trip for Jesus, who grew up in the small village of Nazareth. I've never been to Nazareth, but maybe something similar to what we find ourselves here in Saratoga, Arkansas. I don't know if they had a post office or a Dale's Grocery down the road, but there wasn't much in Nazareth. Small town. But Jesus here goes to the big city. One of the problems with the big city in Jerusalem is that you have a lot of people who are afflicted. There's no big state hospital or anything like that. And so what do you do with the people in verse 3 who are blind and lame and paralyzed, and who don't have family to take care of them? Well, we'll put them all in the shade, keep them out of the sun, like it says in verse 2. And maybe if they're lucky, maybe if they're fortunate, they can get down in that pool and they can be healed. There was one man here in verse 5 who is maybe not outstanding. It's impressive to us, if you can imagine. It sounds like he's paralyzed. He talks about he has no one to carry him. He's been laying there. Been paralyzed for 38 years. And when Jesus asks him this, first thing he says is, "Sir, I have no one." This is this man's life. And while it may be impressive to us to think about these sorts of circumstances, I imagine there were lots of people like this who lived by the pool. Help for him was just out of reach. He could see it every day. The waters were there every now and then. I don't know how often it was. The waters were stirred up and there was a dash for the water. Who can get in the pool first? How long have you been waiting here? The paralyzed man never made it. 38 years of his life. Maybe he's been paralyzed since birth. Maybe it happened to him later by some accident or illness. Whatever it is, it's just out of reach. The pool is right there. He can see it. He can hear people splashing in the water as they get in, but he can't get in. And Jesus, in verse 6, sees him. As much as there are all sorts of sights and sounds in a big city like Jerusalem to see, Jesus finds himself where all of the helpless people are. And Jesus knows him already. He knows he's been there a long time. And in verse 6, Jesus asks this incredible question. He says, "Do you want to be healed?" And on first read, that might sound a little bit tone deaf. What kind of a question is that to ask someone who's been laying here for 38 years? Do you want to be healed? Of course I want to be healed. What kind of a question is that? It's the sort of question that we have try and teach our kids not to ask. You've ever been somewhere out and about, maybe at a doctor's office or Sam's Club, and you see someone who's a little bit similar to this man maybe, and a kid says, "Mom, what's wrong with him?" It's like, there, you're getting a spanking later. You know, you don't ask questions like that in public. But Jesus says, "Do you want to be healed?" At first, it might sound a ridiculous question, but there is something we're thinking about here. Anyone who's debilitated like this is miserable, but not everyone who's miserable wants to be healed. Not everyone who has lots of problems wants those problems to be fixed. There's a difference between suffering and wanting something better. Jesus says, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man explains his situation in verse 7. He says, "Sir, I don't have anyone to put me in the pool. No one is here helping me, okay? And when I'm going, when I'm able to crawl my way there or hobble my way there, someone always beats me. Every single time, year after year, gets this close, and it doesn't happen for him. But where else can he go? What other opportunities does this man have?" And so he sits by the pool, day after day, month after month. Jesus says in verse 8, this is Jesus offering to help. This is Jesus' solution. He says, "Get up. Take up your bed and walk." Jesus does not say, "Well, here, let me carry you. I'll sit with you until the water's stirred up, and I'll push everybody else out of the way, and we'll get you in that pool." Jesus says, "Get up right now and take up your bed and walk." He's trying to show this man that the solution to his problem, this debilitating problem for him, was not in the pool. That's not where he's going to find what's going to heal him. He says, "I'm already right here. Get up, take up your bed, and walk." The solution's not just getting to this next thing right in front of you. If I can just get there, then I'll be set. Jesus says, "I'm the solution. I'm standing right beside you already." And at once in verse 9, without ever dipping a toe in the water, the man was healed. He took up his bed and he walked away. It's a remarkable miracle by all accounts. Maybe it's a little redundant. I don't know if there's any miracles that are not remarkable. But Jesus heals this man with a word. Doesn't have to dump him in the water, doesn't have to take him to a doctor. Jesus heals this man. And through the words of the gospel, Jesus speaks these words to us. These words ring true for us today. Jesus asks the man at the pool, and he asks us by extension, through God's word, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? And we might say, well, I don't know that I need healing, Jesus. Maybe you've never been paralyzed. Maybe you feel like you're doing pretty good in your life. Only the sick need a doctor, and maybe you don't feel so sick, not in your body and maybe not in your soul. But Jesus tells you, do you want to be healed? Maybe you're not paralyzed. Maybe you're not miserable, or you don't think that you are. But everyone who sins is miserable. And sin is just even more debilitating to our lives than any kind of illness or disease. This man couldn't go where he wanted to go. He couldn't do what he wanted to do. He wasn't really living. Sin keeps us from being the people we ought to be. We're not able to do what we need to do. And whoever sins does not live, and they will not live forever. Whether we realize it or not, everyone who sins is miserable. And Jesus says, do you want to be healed? And maybe oftentimes, we think, much like this man at the pool, that our only option is this pool in front of us. We think that if we can just get there, if we can just get down in the water, we can handle it. If we can just get to the next place, you know, if I can just move somewhere and start fresh, get a blank page, if I can just find the right people in my life who will be supportive. Maybe you're struggling with a sin and you think, if I can just have more self-control, if I can just grit my teeth and be better, try harder, then I can handle this. And how long will you wait? How long will you try? Have you ever had a sin in your life and for decades of your life? You haven't figured it out on your own yet. Maybe you're not paralyzed, but maybe you've been bitter for years, and that pool's just out of reach. You say, if I can just get a little bit better, if I can just do a little bit more, then I'll be fine. This miracle that Jesus does and the words that he speaks are meant to show us that the solution's not in the pool. It's not in me crawling over there and handling this myself. Our sin does not need to be managed. It needs to be forgiven. We need to be healed. The work that Jesus has come to do in our lives is not cosmetic. It's not the surface level stuff. It's not fixing our little problems so that we can go and do the things we want. Jesus has come to make us completely new. And so he says, do you want to be healed? Not helped, not dusted off and given a new, you know, shave and a fresh pair of clothes. He says, do you want to be fixed? Do you want to be made well? Jesus is the only solution to what ails us. He really is. These sins in our lives that debilitate us, that make us miserable, we can try and solve them or handle them on our own, and it's never going to work. You might struggle with anger or hatred or jealousy in your heart, say things you don't mean to say, and you know, someone... That person that always bugs you, just grinds your gears, and all day you're fuming because of it. And you can think that if I can just have more self-control, you know, if I can just bear down on myself, if I can just focus more, then I can handle this. How well are you doing handling it? Just trying harder. You might struggle with lust, whether it's in action or in the thoughts of your heart. And you say, if I just had more self-control, you know, if I just put myself in the right situations, then I can handle this. Our sin doesn't need handling. It needs to be healed. And we're not going to handle it just by gritting down, by more self-control, or by trying harder. Not by might or by power. No, we need to be healed. And it's only by looking to Christ. Jesus says, get up, take up your bed and walk. It's when we look to Jesus if we're thinking about the examples of anger or hatred. When we realize the forgiveness that we have, that every single day God is patient with me, long-suffering, and in my case, extra long-suffering. God has forgiven me every single day of my life. And when I understand that, when I look in faith at Christ and I get it, it heals what's inside of us. It's not about, I'm always angry and I need to just try to not be angry. Now it's, I don't want to hate anyone. I want to forgive others because Christ has forgiven me. This isn't about managing the problem. This is about fixing it. You struggle with lust or something. It's not about handling it or just staying out of the wrong situations. All of those things are wise things to do. But when we look to Christ and how he has treated his bride in blameless, selfless love, when we understand the love of God this way, we no longer desire things that are evil. We see people not as objects for our pleasure, but as people made in the image of God. When we understand the perfect love of God that he has had towards us, completely selfless, when that has worked its way into our minds and our souls, we no longer want to consume. It's not love. We get it at that point. And then the problem's not handled. It's healed. It's fixed. James asks the rhetorical question in James chapter 4. Why are there fights and quarrels among you? Why can't all these Christians get along? He says, is it not because your passions are at war within you? You ever feel like you're living your life and there's all these things fighting inside of you? You want to do this, but you know you shouldn't do this. You want to do this, but you know you shouldn't do this. We're not going to solve those problems by just trying to stomp out all the fires wherever they pop up. We're going to solve those problems when we give them over to the Lord and say, I need to be fixed from the inside out. I don't need just a new paint job. I don't just need new tires. You gotta overhaul the whole thing. And that's why Scripture constantly will tell us that God gives grace to the humble. It is the people who come to God knowing all of the deep-rooted sin, the flaws in their character, who will find healing because they bring those things to the Lord. But for the people who come to God and say, I've got things pretty well in order. I've got things the way I want them to be in my life. I just need a little help. Jesus, he knows we don't need just a little help. He's not going to help us hobble to the pool so we can handle our problems, because it's not going to work that way. What he does offer is healing from the inside out. And God knows that's what we all need. Our last passage, and we'll close with this, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When the Apostle Paul describes the work that Jesus came to do, he speaks about it in this way. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16, he says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. In the resurrection, Christ became something completely new. And when we are joined to Christ in baptism, verse 17 says, we are something new. Not fixed up a little bit, not patched up, because most of it was good to start with. We're fresh. All this is because, in verse 21, Jesus took our sin onto himself so that we could be the righteousness of God. It's when we appreciate the depth of sin, not as a problem or inconvenience, but as debilitating, as that paralyzed man, that we realize our need for Christ. And it's when we turn with faith to Jesus that we see that he's not far off. He's not standing at the finish line miles away with his arms crossed, expecting you to crawl all the way there by yourself. He's standing nearby. And he asks you the question, do you want to be healed? Let's all pray together. After this prayer, we'll have a break before our Bible classes.